B-Pod Studios.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We did start long-term with both those players and just didn't find the common ground. You know, whether that's our own influences of how this past year went and adding players, as I referenced before. So we just zeroed in on what made the most sense at this time for Brandon and for us. 2 years was the compromise.
You're listening this morning at 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Pats take on the Jets this Sunday at Gillette Stadium, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members. Because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans 2 times the points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. Excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary the limited time offer. Billy Jaffe is all over the place covering teams and this and that. He's got a podcast coming out, but he won't say who else is on it because I don't think he knows. But he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealer's Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Jaffe.
Oh, gosh, it's good to laugh again at 9:03 in the morning. It's been too long. How many months has it been, really?
Well, the season. What's the point of talking to you until something happens?
Well, that's kind of true, but also not kind of true. I thought we were buds. I guess I overestimated.
Yeah, we're such good friends. You never call me.
Uh-oh. Well, you were like in Alabama or Tennessee, wherever you go. You're
that
all over
like
the place.
Sounds like a good friend. That you don't even know where I go for all those times.
Well, I was all over, too. How are you guys doing? Are you guys doing well? You guys should be doing awesome. Patriots are kicking ass again. Bruins are revving up. You know, good
this
time
is,
of year.
It's a good time of year. All right, so Carlo and McAvoy are settled.
Yep.
And these are very team-friendly deals.
They are. They're also good for the players in the sense of – listen, you know, people were, I don't know if they were misjudging the restricted free agent market, but, there's one or two teams in particular, Toronto, that's skewing everything and perhaps screwing up everything by, you know, they're succumbing to the demands of these players and they're paying them these mega deals. And I think some people thought, and I thought that it might take a little while for a guy like Charlie, because if we saw some other deals get a little bit bigger, that maybe he would want more. But he got what he wanted with regard to the last year of his contract, Fred. That's really important for both Charlie and Brandon, is that the last year salary-wise of each of their contracts is a different figure, a much higher figure than the first year or two. For instance, Charlie's at 7.3 in the last year of his 3-year contract compared to just 3.7 in his first 2 years. So he knows at the end of his third year, he's going to make at least $7.3 million. He knows that. And so that's the way that the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, works right now. So while, yes, these players sign shorter-term deals with great AAVs, average annual values for the teams, these are great values for the team, both players got the higher amount the last year of their contract, and that was big to each one of these players.
All right, so you got Krug. You have options of I doubt that they could sign him right now, but you have the option of keeping him for the year or trading him.
Yep.
You know, this, I tend to lean towards keeping him because, you know, you went to game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year.
And he was great. He was their best defenseman.
Well, I mean, he's going to make $9 million a year or something maybe if he goes to free agency. But what do you think the strategy is with Krug?
I think they try and figure out a way to sign him. I think that's the strategy. I feel like there's a wonderful buy-in on this team. And does that mean you take a little less to stay? Maybe a little bit less. But, I mean, Torrey knows that he's going to get major money no matter where he is, whether it's here or with another team. He's a smart kid. I think they look at Torrey Krug as, you know, not a potential. He's already a leader on this team, but a guy to wear a letter on his sweater in the next couple of years. I mean, you've got some guys that are in that area, whether it's Zdeno Chara, it's obvious that he's getting closer to being done than playing long-term. Patrice Bergeron, a couple of years left. Torrey Krug is looked upon as a leader on this team. And I think that they understand the significance of his play on and off the ice. His style is exactly what the new NHL, the new stylistic NHL is all about. I hate sitting on the fence, Fred, like this, because I know it sounds lame, but I think they're going to try to sign him. Does that mean that they can? I don't know, but But I think they do. I think they hold on to him as long as they can. And if they have to do that hold, you know, we'll keep our own free agent as a trade line acquisition type of thing. I think they would go that route.
All right, Patrice Bergeron, his groin still bothering him. That's basically just not going to get better, right?
That's
just got to be something he's going to have to play with.
Well, you're going to have to manage. Yeah, exactly. It seems like that. You know, he seems to be in great shape, seems to be in a great mood. Talks, you know, saw him the other day for a couple of minutes. I think he understands that this is something he's going to have to deal with, but I he was able to, at least it seemed, be able to handle it better last year at times. Let's see if the injection that he had, a couple of weeks ago over the summer, if that tempers it to a point where with some game or with some practice management that he can handle the games even better. But, you know, you're talking about a guy who, just turned, he's 34, the wear and tear is there. Let's hope that it's just management or having to manage it more so than having to do anything more extreme about that groin injury or groin situation.
Okay, is there any name that could be moved before the season?
I think that there's...
Like Krejci.
No, I don't see that happening. No, I don't see that at all. I mean, could there be a deal that where somebody, one of the... I mean, you've got two guys on the back end, Fred, that are injured right now, and John Moore and Kevin Miller. I think that keeps all the D that they have in house, so to speak. You know, you've got guys that signed contracts in Kampfer and Clifton. I think that this keeps them no matter what here, and I think they want to keep those guys no matter what. But if there were any other guys that could have gotten moved, perhaps. Them being injured, I think, puts a little kibosh on that right now. I don't know if I see anybody right now being moved. Maybe a little bit into the season when everybody gets healthy. Yeah, I could see somebody getting moved then.
What about David Backes and how the season has started? There's been a little bit of talk about how, you know, he's looked good in camp, but, I mean, what do you realistically expect them to do with him? You know, a guy who was a healthy scratch at the end of the season in several games.
Well, healthy scratch, and then he came back into the playoffs at times, Rich, and he was very impactful in his role at his role when he came in. Now, are they going to have to? You know, I used the term manage with Patrice Bergeron. Are they going to look to manage that with Backes and have him as a guy who they look to put in for, I don't know, 50 something games instead of expecting 82 out of him? That might be. What do I expect? I mean, he's got 2 years left, including this year. His actual salary's at $4 million, but his cap hits $6 million per. I don't expect, you know, him to be moved right now. I mean, there's not much of a huge benefit if they were to try and put him to an area, you know, like a Providence. I expect him to be around. He's another leader. He's a guy that's well respected and. For now, I expect David to be around. He has looked good, but, it, you know, right now it's early. Right now everybody is, you know, in good shape and feeling good. We need to, you know, that's why a lot of times there were people saying, well, there's a few youngsters that look great in game one against New Jersey. And by people, I mean some, you know, writers, media people, whatever. I'm thrilled that they look good in game one. But you're playing a team that's playing six or seven veterans at most in their lineup. And the Bruins had six or seven in their lineup. These aren't what we would call regular NHL games. So not to put cold water on any of these youngsters looking good early on, but you got to remember this is not regular season. So same thing with Backes and same thing with any other veteran. Let's see how they go as the entire preseason goes along.
Real quick, Billy, we've been talking about the salary cap and Backes' salary and the injuries to Bergeron getting older. One of the guys who is the future is Jake DeBrusque, who just missed scoring 30 last year, and he's going to next year at this time is going to be in the same situation as Carlo and McAvoy this year. What do you think his value is?
Well, his value is he looks like to be a legit regular top six forward. If he puts up another 25 to 30 goals, you're talking a significant bump. I mean, I have to look at market comps, but you're talking, you know, you're talking a couple of million more. Right now he's on his entry level deal. Johnny, so he's going to be up at least, you know, probably three, if not more million. But you're going to see how this year goes. You know, he's not going to be getting a $9 million contract. He's not. I mean, he's not going there. But he'll get, you know, a nice bump. His value, just like McAvoy and Carlo, is high value to this team. And a guy that can grow a mullet like that might add a few dollars, too. I mean, that might. There's nothing wrong with a little hockey here. It doesn't matter what year it is.
McQuaid's not here anymore, so someone has to carry the mantle, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I don't think McQuaid would ever. I don't know if Jake had frosted the tips yet, but if he went frosted tips,
straight up Guy Fieri.
Yeah, like that used to be a big thing, frosted tips in the hockey world, especially for some Western Canadians. Look, you know, that could be that could be significant. He's an Edmonton boy. If he does that, that could bring his value up a few dollars, too. You never know.
All right, Billy Jaffe, he has lots of projects coming out, and we'll find out what exactly in the near future.
You know, my biggest one might be is that I'm back with you on Wednesdays. I'm going to be in studio with you guys. I mean, that to me, that's... might be the biggest of them all.
It's called making magic, Billy Jaffe.
It's the first I've heard of that. But, all right.
Well, I'm just putting the pressure on you. I'm just making it up. So anyways, yeah. Come on. Give the Bruins fans what they want. Great to talk to you guys, all right? Great
all
to
right, talk. Billy. Thank you so much. Man. All right. you know Thomas Middleditch?
Yeah, he's the lead on Silicon Valley on HBO.
He and his wife are swingers.
I read that, and he said it saved his marriage.
Huh.
And then their marriage will be broken up in a year.
Swinging is the kind of thing that you got to just commit to.
Yeah.
You can't dip your toe in swinging. I had a friend that him and his wife started like dipping their toe and kind of like half-assing it. And she just came home one time from a trip and said, I've met someone and I'm leaving him.
Yeah, it almost never ends well. Although I do know there was a friend of mine who him and his wife were invited, you know, they were just kind of hit it off with this couple that they knew and were invited over to their place. And little did they know, the whole thing was a proposition for swinging. And he said it was the most awful, awful thing to have to deal with.
Were like, they good looking?
How do you get out of that situation?
Well, you clunk the guy over the head and go, ladies, let's go. And then you keep your wife at a safe distance. Yeah, yeah, here, I like you. And then you focus.
I mean, like, how I would just be, I have to leave now. You would just say like, immediately, like, there would be no, like, couth or any kind of smooth way to get out. Just like, all right, we got to go.
It's just funny when I hear about people having threesomes with their wives and just like, what do you, how do you, like.
You know somebody who's done that?
Yeah, I know. People have three ways with their wives, but.
What?
Yeah.
I've, like, two guys?
No. Two girls. But I've
still never heard of that. Like in real life. Like, that's something that in movies you see. But in real... Do you know anybody in real life, John, who's done that?
No.
Dan, any... Nope. Anybody? Nope. Oh, okay. Mike knows somebody in real life.
Oh, well, there you go. All right.
But I always wonder, because, like, your wife's there and how you can keep them happy when what you really want to do is be banging the other chick.
Yeah.
It's like if you were to watch a porn with, like, a threesome and there's, like, an ugly chick and a hot chick and the guy's, like, kind of keeping the ugly chick away...
Well, I mean, Mike said it best. I mean, he said he knew somebody. He said it didn't end well. How do those things ever end well?
A threesome, you could. The threesome is, well, if the girl's, like, curious about girls, I mean, there's no problem.
But then
there.
They're going to get jealous that the guy was enjoying it.
I don't think necessarily. I think that that's a lot easier to pull off than straight up swinging.
How many do you know that have done that? Like, how many people?
I don't know. Not a lot, but okay. I mean, more than one.
Wow.
I mean, sometimes women are curious about, you know, other women, and like, they feel like it's a safe
they environment. They were married. It wasn't dating. It was a married threesome.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think it's a big deal if you were dating.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But that's married.
Dating, it's easy.
Right. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to get to. Like, I've never heard of a married one like that.
Everyone get drunk. Yeah, I think that you can pull that off. Swinging, and from what I know, and I only know one, like I said, but they didn't commit to it, and that just is not a good thing. You got to go. You're either in or out.
Well, these guys went to these people's house, and it was like the artwork's in it all.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
It was like black light posters.
It was like statues of torsos and things. And
no. And hey, now.
Exit. Stage left.
I don't know. I'd feel the thing out.
There's a certain atmosphere that needs to happen before you do this kind of thing. You don't walk into something
that's
brand new. There's nothing. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? House has to be set a certain way to set the mood for this kind of thing. You need the statues, Fred.
But you
do.
You need the story. Like, the story is so great. And if you just immediately leave, the story sucks. Like,
oh, I see what you're saying.
I don't want to stay for the story.
No, the mood has to be a certain way. The rug has to be a certain way.
Yeah, but if you just I went over to someone's house and they wanted to swing, it's a crappy story. If you go there and you, like, stick around and, like, see how they're trying to pull it off.
Sure.
That's funny.
I got you.
I think once you get to the point where you realize that they're trying to swing, you've gone far enough.
No.
Like, you've got to...
No.
You start to have, like, a Usual Suspects moment. Like, things that they said to you all make sense now. Like, oh, God.
You go to, like, you know, the Marshfield Fair to look at people and stuff like that.
Of course, because it's enjoyable.
Yeah, so this is the story. So you sit there.
But I'm not having someone trying to hook up with my wife.
I'm not saying that you do it. Like, I'm not saying, like, they... It would be funny to see.
How did you compare the Marshfield Fair to someone trying to fornicate with my wife?
Because it's because they can't just grab your wife and start banging her. You got it.
But no, I know, but that was their intention.
I understand.
Like getting
that.
There, knowing what they had imagined in their head that they were going to have sex.
I'm not allowing them to rape anybody.
I know, I understand
so
that.
So I'm sitting there, and I want to. I'd let it ride for about 45 minutes just to see how they try to do it.
Okay, at what point do you pull the like ripcord?
Yeah.
Like when they started to like if
like the hand starts rubbing the hair,
you gotta have to figure they get naked, right?
No, they just don't immediately do that.
No,
they get
I
out.
I would stay until unless they
you
started
would stay until you see some skin
until someone starts playing Barry White.
There's two things. Once they started like aggressively touching someone that wasn't me, but it would be great if they got naked and then you were like, oh, I can't do it.
Okay. Has anyone ever proposed a swing thing and you didn't realize it was going to happen?
How many calls do you think we get?
I bet we have full phone lines.
You think?
I have a weird feeling.
Oh,
that
I don't know about that.
I think that there's
full
some
phone lines for this.
I think that there's some communities, like certain pockets.
Oh,
where
well, we know a guy.
Oh, yes. We do know a guy
who lived and they would have all these basement parties like all around his neighborhood.
Oh, that's not the guy that I'm thinking of then.
No, that guy's a degenerate. No, but there were all these people, and they lived in this community. They were always kind of the same age, and they all had kids.
Is this down in Georgia or up here?
Georgia.
Okay.
And, I was thinking someone up here.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was just... We have to break. All right.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're 4 minutes away from giving you tickets to the 55-3 game that's happening as the Jets play a third-string quarterback, and their best player has been ostracized by their stupid defensive coordinator.
That Jamal Adams situation is so great because right now, Greg Williams... Why anybody would hire that guy is astounding.
So if you don't know what happened is that Adams got two penalties in a row. Adams is a culture-setting player.
Best player on the team.
He's a captain in his third year. He's everything you want out of a football player. And Greg Williams on national television benched him. And there's something like he's missed like three plays in his career. Like for real. And he pulled them out for the last five plays of the game in a game, by the way, which they were getting killed.
Yep. And no reason to do that.
I mean, they are just such a crap organization. It is just such a pain in the ass.
Wasn't Greg Williams suspended? He was the leader in the Bounty Gate scandal,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
For New Orleans?
He was.
And he's still finding work.
Yep.
Good for him.
All right, so we're talking, and Thomas Middleditch is coming out and he's saying him and his wife swing.
And I was just like, that, can you imagine being in a situation where this happened to a friend of mine. He went over to this couple's house that they kind of got to know and realized within a couple of minutes that this whole thing was set up as a swing proposal. And they were like, get me the hell out of here.
I'll tell you, if you're the guy in the swinging relationship with the two of them, you're the winner. I can tell you that right now. There's a disparity of looks that are going on. You must really like comedy if you're going after that guy. Nick, go ahead.
So my girl I was friends with growing up, we used to have all the fun parties at our house. All of a sudden, one party, all of a sudden, there's a stripper pole in the living room because the mom was doing the strip fitness thing. That's what she said. Then our other friend was doing some snooping, found a bunch of pamphlets of swinging in one of the drawers. My parents went to a party at their house because they used to have all the fun family, like the adults who go for the fun parties there too. And my parents stayed a little bit too long. All of a sudden, the stripper pole was used for more than just fitness, and my parents had to rush out, and I asked my dad after, oh, how was the party? You guys have fun? No, we stayed too long. No, it was weird. It stayed too long. And then I said, are they swingers? He goes, yeah, they are. We found the pamphlets. He goes, yeah, no, never go there again. Never again.
So your parents got invited to swing with your friends.
Okay, so we had a friend.
Oh, my God.
We had a friend whose parents...
the woman was so fat she had to like use a cane because she was so fat, and the guy was nothing to look at, and they had one of those party pits in their living room.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, swingers.
Really?
Yeah, and it would be, I'd give an Olympic medal to someone who could perform with that woman.
Oh. They don't have those bars around here, do they? Because I remember there was this one time where, like, I had an appearance somewhere, and I pulled into this industrial park. It was about 30 minutes early to eat kind of lunch. I drove through a place, and I'm sitting there, and I see the name of this thing at this industrial park. I'm like, what the hell is this? And I Google it, and it was like this swingers club. It was called Trapeze, and it was in the middle of an industrial park, and I Googled it, and the pictures of the people that were on that website were terrifying.
Yeah.
And I always imagine that when I think of swingers.
Oh, yeah. It's not Hugh Hefner's, you know? You're not walking into a situation where it's the best of the brightest. Car number 10 right now, because think about it. If you were good looking, you could do it on your own. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Jets this Sunday at Gillette Stadium, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin'. For DD Perks members, because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans 2x the points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. That excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Here are the headlines.
Be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Cumberland Farms. Stop by your local Cumberland Farms and get 2 breakfast sandwiches for $4. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. One thing about the Alec Baldwin roast, which was actually quite funny, is De Niro's on it, and he does a Kraft joke.
Oh, does he really?
Yes, he does a Jonathan Kraft joke, which I'm sure...
Robert
Kraft joke, which I'm sure is not thrilling when Robert De Niro is on national television making fun of you.
Who else was on the dais on that? It was... I know that, of course, the guy, the Roastmaster General, Jeffrey Ross. Blake Griffin, Sean Hayes...
There, Adam Carolla.
Nikki Glaser. How was Carolla?
Not good.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I think I've seen him do a roast before, and I was, you know, he's a funny guy, very funny guy in person, but I think he didn't do very well in the last one.
No one's
ever going to top Norm MacDonald at Bob Saget's roast. If you've never seen it, it's sublime. Absolutely a comedy perfection. But
and the guy with the little penis from
the Hangover.
Yeah.
Ken Jeong. Yeah, that's right.
He was there and they made $5 million.
I'm sure that was the joke. That was the one everyone went to. Well, with Ben Roethlisberger down, Drew Brees, Eli Manning, Nick Foles, Sam Darnold, all these starting quarterbacks just out. Looks like we might add another one to that. Cam Newton's status reportedly up in the air after he re-aggravated his foot injury that he had, and it looks like the Panthers are going to see how it goes. He has looked like he's been injured for the first 2 weeks. I mean, he's looked bad, and it's to the point where I wonder even if he recovers from this foot injury, whether he's just one of these guys now that is ever going to bounce back anywhere close to what he was. I just don't believe that he's even a top half quarterback now.
No, he's. I mean, we saw him at the Super Bowl. What was it, 2011? We saw him.
Yep.
He is an enormous individual, and what, 6'5", 250? Just a huge guy, yep. A big presence, a very physically fit guy. But he has run far too many times and taken far too many hits.
Well, he's
and
also been
Ian
screwed
Rappaport,
by the refs, too.
Yes.
Like, that dude takes more headshots, and they don't call him than any
but
other quarterback
he
in the
also,
league.
The team keeps sending him out there. I mean, get down in the fetal position. You know, Brett Favre used to do that. We used to rag on him for giving up like that. He lasted a lot longer than Cam Newton's going to. And the other thing about Newton, according to the NFL Network in the last few minutes, that foot's still in a walking boot today. So the odds of him playing are decreasing by the hour.
It's a lesson to Josh Allen, just because you're a big guy.
It's true, man. That guy's asking for it.
Listen,
the way he plays,
yeah,
it's fairly reckless, especially being like his size. Like, he's not like a massive guy.
In the NFL, there's always a linebacker that runs faster than you.
I think he's bigger than Cam Newton.
He's more built than Cam Newton?
He's taller. I know that.
He's about the same.
See, I always thought of him as being like a little more svelte than I mean, Cam Newton's a big guy.
He's huge.
Okay.
Well, Josh Allen is a big individual.
Well, he's playing fairly reckless. Well, Eli Manning, as you have heard, he will not be playing. He finishes his record at 500. I think it was 116.
Correct.
Think. Wins and losses. And there's been a lot of discussion as to whether or not he's going to the Hall of Fame. But most people want to know right now, is he going to play again? And according to Chris Mortensen, he goes, he doesn't get a sense that Eli Manning wants to go play for another team. He does have a no-trade clause. But if there's any team that it's perfect for right now, wouldn't you believe Jacksonville would be the place? He can hook back up with his old coach, Tom Coughlin, who kind of runs the joint down there. They need somebody right now with Nick Foles on the recovery. When's he supposed to come back? Week 8, week 9, they're predicting?
Broken collarbone, so out at least 8 weeks.
If you're right? Eli Manning at this point, don't you just kind of got to finish out doing nothing?
I'd give them a conditional 7th-round pick in 2040.
I almost wonder if he was going to continue to play. But almost as a mercy thing, they took him out because they didn't want him to finish his career with a losing record. They got it to the point where it was like even. His wins and losses were equal.
He won them 2 Super Bowls. That's far more important than a winning record.
I understand.
I don't think that matters.
They finally used their heads and said, we used a high first-round pick for this kid.
Well, now look who's coming out of the woodwork because there are so many quarterbacks going down. According to sources close to him, Colin Kaepernick has been shopping around. His agent has been calling teams in need for a quarterback, telling them that he's in the best shape of his life. He's been working out 5 days a week at 5 a.m. for 3 years.
Why is he doing it at 5 a.m.? He got nothing else to do.
That's a great question. Why wake up that early?
I don't understand that. I don't understand why people go to the gym at 5 a.m.
That is the Mark Wahlberg method. There was no reason for him to get up that early.
I passed Lifetime Fitness on my way, and there's all these dumb cars pulling in.
Well, that's because they're going to work.
Yeah, like, but then at 5 in the morning.
See, Colin Kaepernick, isn't that his job? You know, kind of staying in shape?
Right. Yeah, but I mean, why would you do it at 5? It's the same thing if you do it at 6 at night.
Well, because you go to work at 7 and maybe you have kids to pick up from school.
No, I'm talking about Colin Kaepernick. No. You're not going to work at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, Colin Kaepernick, in my opinion, absolutely got blackballed. I bet there are teams that just said, "I'm staying away from him because I do not want that kind of controversy around this organization." However, and I think that he was completely deprived of, and he but paid for it. The NFL paid him. They settled in court and they gave him a lot of money because there seemed to be enough evidence that was the case.
He's also gotten a lot of money for being an outlaw, too. I mean, Nike spread him all over billboards across the country. He got paid there, too.
Well, I'm not talking about money right now. What I'm talking about is at one point where it was realistic, and I think he should have played and could have played, guy hasn't played football in 3 years.
It's not worth discussing. He's not going to play football.
And I don't care how good you are. If you haven't played the game in 3 years, like, can you give me a scenario where someone was out of the league for 3 years and they came back?
He's not going to play. It's not worth discussing. There's no way a team's taking him.
Regardless of how you got to this point, if you have a quarterback sitting there that's been out of work for 3 years, you don't bring him back and play him.
I'm going to have my agent call Paramount Pictures and try to get me one of the Avenger parts.
Now, what I would love is for Johnny Manziel to play for the Jets.
Yeah, well.
How great would that be?
Not great.
Who's their backup right? Oh, they just got Paxton Lynch, right?
No.
Paxton Lynch?
The Jets just signed this guy named David Fales, who played for Gase in Miami last year.
Okay, who just
signed
Paxton?
He's the backup for Falk.
He's a perfect name for a Jet.
Not spelled that way, but pronounced that way, yes.
Right. And the current quarterback, everyone's going to be yelling at when they see how much he sucks. His last name, at least.
Yeah, I mean, the season's over. I mean, and then they'll get a top 3 pick, and they don't need a quarterback. So they won't trade down, and they'll take some guy that's supposed to be the best guy in the draft, and then it'll turn out to be mediocre, just like Leonard Williams, just like all these guys that they take.
Sheldon Richardson?
Sheldon Richardson was okay for a while.
Yeah. He was a high pick, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it couldn't have been low.
You make a good point.
Yeah.
That's on me. I should have realized that. It's my fault.
It's not 20 years ago.
Now, do you know yesterday I was talking about how the Friends show was leaving Netflix and it was being replaced by Seinfeld? I'm like, man, how much money do you think they're going to make out of this? Well, I now have the official figure of how much money HBO Max, which is a new streaming service, paid to get the rights to Friends, to move them from Netflix to HBO. Guess how much it was?
$150 million.
$425 million.
Everyone needs their heads.
Wow.
And Fred, that's not even as bad as it gets. That's $85 million a year for 5 years is how much they paid. However, it was just announced that The Big Bang Theory is coming to HBO streaming service. Would you like to guess how much money they paid get the rights to that show?
It's more. Oh, by the way, he's setting it up.
It's got to be way more.
I'll say $750 million.
Because Friends has been in syndication for
$750 million.
$1 billion.
Oh, my God.
They just paid $1 billion to get the rights to that dumb show, Big Bang Theory. And isn't Jim Parsons one of the producers on that show?
I'm sure the
guy who plays Sheldon?
I'm sure they all got a producer.
That's going to make him the wealthiest talent in Hollywood, I bet.
Well, he was the highest paid actor.
He was already the highest paid actor in television.
I think they probably all got co-producers because once you've been on that long and had that kind of success, they kind of have to. Like even the chick from The Office was a co-producer.
All right, friend, when we get back, one of your favorite shows of all time is being rebooted.
That
original cast.
All right, we'll find rules of engagement.
It doesn't go well. Trust me, it doesn't go well.
Are we doing happy original cast? Real quick, underground show, happy endings. Check it out.
Okay.
Mike has good taste.
All right.
Happy endings. They're redoing that. You check that out.
Happy endings.
It's called Happy Endings. It's about a porn club in Times Square in the 70s. But that was kind of Robert De Niro's joke when he was doing the Robert Kraft thing. All right, we'll be right back. .985 The Sports Hub. If you missed part of the Toucher and Rich Show today, you can listen to the podcast on our website at 985thesportshub.com or on the Sports Hub app. I actually listened to the podcast because we were talking about farts for so long. And if you're short on time, we have 30-minute condensed versions available, too. All right. What is being rebooted with the original cast? Okay, because favorite sitcoms, Seinfeld, Family Guy's still on the air, New Girl.
No way.
The Bayside Gang are reuniting.
Oh, but John Paul Gossier is
Mark Paul.
Mark Paul Gossier is on a show.
Well,
called Mixish.
NBA okay. or NBC Universal. They've got this new streaming. Everyone's got a streaming service now called Peacock. It is teaming up Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley for a new Saved by the Bell series. And they are in talks with Mark Paul Gossler to return. Now,
he's on a sitcom made by the creators of Blackish.
Now, you want to hear what the plot is? They explore what happens when California Governor Zach Morris, he is now the governor of California, gets
in still stop time?
Probably. Look at the camera. He gets into hot water for closing too many low-income high schools and proposes the affected students be sent to the highest performing schools in the state, including Bayside High. The influx of new students give the overprivileged Bayside kids a much-needed and hilarious dose of reality.
Well, that sounds like a grand idea.
So the two that have signed on now are Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley, and they are trying to get Mark Paul. What's Screech up to? Why is he? What is he too good for?
Screech is persona non grata because he wrote a tell-all.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. He is on the outs. But speaking of reboots, because everything now is trying to get a reboot, this is my favorite headline. Would you like to read it?
All right. Who's the boss? Why Tony Danza doesn't want a reboot, even though Alyssa Milano's on board.
I'll do it. Please, anything. I'll do it. Yes. I need money.
The best is like the little kid, the boy on that show.
Danny Pintaro.
Yeah.
They casted him, and then they were just like, you don't exist. You'll be involved in nothing.
No plot lines?
Oh, my God. But Mona.
Mona.
Mm-hmm. Angela.
Yeah, so his whole deal was that you can't do a show without Mona.
That's right. She's as dead as...
Catherine Hellman is...
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
not alive anymore. Not yeah. with us.
I'll tell you what, but you give me one of them Milfy redheads.
What?
Pass the jury and...
All right, stop. So there you go. Oh, and by the way, the new Ghostbusters movie, it was announced that Dan Aykroyd wants to be involved.
Well, that's a surprise.
Has he ever not been involved with anything? He's just one of those guys who's like, I'll do anything for cash now. Just reboot everything, I'll do it.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd has been disturbing looking for about... Because have you seen Gross Point Blank lately?
No.
Yes.
Yes, so
I've seen Tommy Boy. I saw Tommy Boy with
recently. I just turned it on right as the convenience store blew up, and I hung in the rest of the way.
That's a good movie.
But, it's a very good movie.
Yeah, but
10 years, man. 10 years.
Jeremy Piven is actually funny.
Yep.
The only reboot I'm excited about is the one we talked about yesterday, Cobra, because also Robert Rodriguez is the one doing it, who did the movie Desperado, Desperado is a top three action movie.
But
for
Cobra
me.
Can't be good because it's not. Cobra was not intended to be funny.
No, and it's hysterical.
But it plays as a comedy.
Yeah, dude, that's why you need to see Predator. Why have you not seen Predator yet?
That's Rich has got a good point there. That's wheelhouse stuff for Predator. That is exactly what Predator is.
It's Cobra with Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
I ain't got time to bleed. I mean, it was so damn Cobra. Manly. It went over the top.
Right, from
it went
Schwarzenegger
the other way.
Screaming on top of a bonfire for no reason. Telling you.
They made Sylvester Stallone thought it'd be cool to have a match in his mouth.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Crimes and disease. I'm a cure.
That's right.
Why the hell does he have a match in his mouth? Like, how is that cool?
Because he's living life on the edge, Fred.
Like, living I just life walk around on the edge. With a stupid match.
Yep. Unlike his partner who loved gummy bears.
That's right. Cuts his pizza with scissors. No normal guy does that. Only guys who live life on the edge do that.
There's an episode of Family Guy where Peter starts keeping a toothpick in his mouth and he becomes a toothpick guy.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Flex for
I've seen two straight minutes. I've seen the beginning of
it. Got you pushing too many pencils. Oh, you got to see it, dude. You got to see the whole thing. I mean, Jesse the Body Ventura was in it.
I ain't got time to bleed.
He didn't have time to bleed.
That's right.
I don't know. It's a little much for me.
Any excuse to see the body in a movie. Come on now. Running Man.
I've seen Running Man.
The Running Man. Running Man's great.
This stuff will make you a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus.
I mean, come on, man. You got to see that movie.
I'm almost doing it now out of spite. I will not see that movie. I will not be bullied.
I don't know what I'm more shocked by, the fact that you've never had a cheeseburger, the fact that you've never had macaroni and cheese, or that you've never seen Predator. Because you aren't an American if you haven't done at least two or three of those things.
The cheeseburger thing is hard to believe. The macaroni and cheese, I'm not alone. There, every time that I mention that.
I guess it was just my poor childhood. Like a macaroni and cheese.
My kids eat macaroni and cheese all the time.
How did you avoid it as a kid?
I didn't want it. Okay. Dude, I ate hot dogs, only ballpark hot dogs, for 6 months. You know how neurotic and dumb I am?
You know what one of my favorite meals was growing up? It was macaroni and cheese with Spam cut up and put on top of it. That was it. I mean, that was one of my favorite meals.
Spam's not even bad. If you grill Spam.
The combination.
I found it delicious. I haven't had it in years, of course, but I mean, it was delicious.
If you go to Hawaii, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I heard it's a thing. It's a delicacy.
It's what they like because back in the day, they needed the canned meats. Well, it appears that no one's going to bother to come in for the crossover.
Couple of sports topics real quick.
Yes.
This is according to the NFL Network. Jalen Ramsey, apparently Jacksonville wants to trade him because they play Thursday. The fact that trading him before the next game is unlikely. The target date to trade Ramsey is Friday. And to that I say, if you're going to trade him Friday,
you can't
play him.
All right, what's the
Thursday?
Other one? Because the other story is even weirder.
The other one's really weird. The Philadelphia Eagles, Carson Wentz was supposed to meet the media today. They have canceled his media availability, and right after that, they canceled practice entirely. This is a team that played last Sunday and is going to play this Sunday, and practice for today, installation day, has been canceled.
I've never
heard of that.
This is fucking interesting. I've never heard of that in my life.
There's only one instance, and I was just reminded of it. The Rams had to cancel practice because the air quality is bad because the wildfires are nearby.
Well, yeah,
they were out in LA. But for this kind of thing, out of nowhere, never heard of it.
There must have been a warning of terrorism or something.
Or no,
like that.
Rich had a. I mean, they are banged up. They're missing a lot of people.
Yeah, they're
so
really hurt.
That might have something to do with it. But this is unprecedented.
A football team canceling practice.
The Eagles have canceled practice.
I guarantee you,
very
something
strange.
Goes out that there
something's
like a
weird.
Warning.
Yep.
All right, Rich, you want to leave him with something?
Why not? Listen,
that'll do it for us. Bye.
Oh.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.